You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. It is Friday, as I said, today, the 6th day of May. Good as always to have you along, everybody. Jobs Day, as I also said, 428,000 new jobs last month, 3.6% on the unemployment rate. That much you've surely heard already. Also, Fed week, a 50 basis point. That is the geeky way to say half a percentage point increase in the Fed short-term interest rate. So, I don't know, 7, maybe 8 minutes to talk about what it all means. Neil Richardson's at ADP. Catherine Rempel is at the Washington Post. Hey, you two.
Hi, Kai. Hey, Kai.
So, let's see. Catherine, do me a favor. Pick your favorite data point of the jobs report today and discuss.
My favorite data point, I guess, is the fact that we've had roughly a half a million jobs added per month over the past year, which means that if that pace were to roughly continue, we would be back to the pre-pandemic level of jobs in about 2 months, 2 or 3 months. If April pace continued or, you know, the average pace over the past year, we would have filled in the hole, essentially dug at the very beginning of the pandemic, which is quite a remarkable feat, given how long it took to recover from the Great Recession.
And how deep the jobs hole was back in March, April of 2020.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a lot deeper this time.
Right.
And the forecasts were that it would take much longer to recover all of that lost ground.
Okay, Neela, I am not actually going to give you your choice of data points because I want you to talk about wages as they are reflected in this morning's report, please.
Yes, yeah, so wages went up by 5.5%. That was slightly less than the 5.6% 12-month growth rate posted over the last report. Why is that important? Those numbers look very, very close together. Yeah. Well, it's important because that is front and center for the Federal Reserve when they're thinking about inflation. What they are trying to avoid is that wages keep going up and up and up, which we all like, let's be honest. But it goes up in a way that drives up inflation, which we don't like, because our wage, that means our pay increases, we don't get to feel that because inflation takes it all away from us. So that the fact that those wage increases went down a little bit in this month's report is actually good news for the Fed when they're trying to fight inflation.
Avoiding that dreaded wage price spiral. Then, in fact, Chair Powell talked about it a little bit. Catherine, let me ask you about Jay Powell and the press conference that he had on Wednesday and this thing that he did at the top, which I don't think he's ever done before, which is, you know, he said, thank you very much for coming, blah, 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 good to be here. And then he said, before he took any questions or read his statement, he said, I want to talk directly to the American people. In almost literally those words. Why do you think he did that?
I think he did that because he wants to show that the Fed is in touch with the real pain being felt by the public, that they're not a bunch of disconnected propeller heads, you know, who work in abstractions, that they that he and his colleagues pay attention to the needs and pressures and frustrations of the of regular Americans, whether that means their ability to get a job on the one hand, you know, half of the dual mandate being maximum employment, and their ability to keep up with the cost of living, the other half of their mandate being stable prices. So, you know, I think they're trying to show that this is not, you know, an abstraction for federal for Fed policymakers. This is actually about weighing these very difficult choices that they have to weigh, so that regular Americans can feel okay.
I love the propeller heads thing, and let's just hope central bankers do not take offense when they listen to this program. Neela, let me ask you this: if what the Fed wants to do is drive down inflation as quickly as possible without, of course, sending this economy into a recession, the soft landing that we've talked about a lot. Why do you suppose Chair Powell, when asked about why they didn't do a 75 basis point, that is to say 0.75 percentage point increase, why do you think he basically took that off the table and he said, no, we're not thinking about it. It's only a half percentage point as far as we can see. Why did he do that?
I'm just going to guess on this.
Okay. Well, we're all guessing, right? I mean, you know.
I think the Fed wants to make it look easy what they're doing.
Really?
And one of the things that it's about credibility, that they have this in check. And the one thing that has worked for the Fed in bringing down inflation is gradualism, the ability to raise by the same amount each Fed meeting. Usually it's a quarter of a point. Mm-hmm. And that rate hike, gradual, slow, predictable, has been the game plan. They wanted to do the same thing, I think, this time around, but with a slightly more aggressive stance, 50 basis points, a half a percentage point, but predictable every single time, at least for the next couple of meetings. And so I think that was behind taking away a higher, more aggressive push, but it didn't work as well in doing so.
Well,
as
yeah.
we saw in the market this week.
Well, exactly. So we'll get to that in a second. But Catherine, talk to me about the Fed's credibility. I mean, even Jay Powell, you know, he gave a sidelong glance at the fact that they've been behind the curve for, you know, controlling inflation. Do you think they have a credibility problem?
I mean, if you look at inflation expectations, they're not dramatically higher.
Yeah.
So one way to interpret that is that people think inflation will come down, ergo the Fed is going to be able to take the punch bowl away
right.
at some point. I mean, I think for a very long time, nobody thought about inflation because we hadn't experienced inflation.
Yeah, sure.
But and that is to the credit of the credibility of the Fed, among other among other factors. But you know, that was obviously not the case in the pre-Volcker era, and part of the reason why Volcker had to raise interest rates so dramatically was to show the world that the Fed was actually finally serious about getting inflation under control. That they almost had to like overreact to prove to the world
right.
that price stability is something that they care about. And then it becomes, once the central bank has that credibility, it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that if you believe the Fed is going to take the punch bowl away, they almost like don't have to take it away as quickly.
Hmm.
And we're in this funny situation right now where there is more skepticism about the Fed's choices made over the past year. And I think that they're trying their best to show the world that they are competent, but they are humble, you know, to use the other word that Powell uses all the time. Humble and nimble, I think, are his two favorite words now.
I think that's right.
But I'm guessing that they're worried about it because they've gotten a lot of calls wrong in this past year and inflation has been much higher than people are comfortable with and then they predicted.
So, Neela, let's talk for a second about the punch bowl. Of course, you know, the Fed's job is to take the punch bowl away just as the party really gets rocking. And we saw in the markets the last couple of days that whole whiplash thing. Sudeep, when we called him yesterday to talk about the crazy day on Wall Street, he said, look, people have been staggering around drunk for a while now and they're taking the punch bowl away. What effect does that volatility and the uncertainty that everybody who, you know, doesn't follow the bigger economy, but they look at stocks every day and say, oh, my goodness, things are crazy. What effect do you think that uncertainty has?
You know, Catherine mentioned expectations, and I think that's such an important part of the Fed's decision making. The technical thing that volatility does is feed back into financial conditions, which is another technical term you'll hear a lot, but that's basically the tightening of borrowing costs. And so in some sense, the fact that interest rates are going up, but also that the easy money is a thing of the past is something that the stock market is starting to figure that out and kind of readjust to. But that spills back onto Main Street in terms of small business loans and mortgage loans. And so that's all part of this mix of the economy coming to terms with the reality of higher interest rates in a way that we have not experienced in a very long time.
Neela Richardson at ADP, Catherine Appel at The Washington Post. What a week it was. Thanks, you two. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks,
you too. Thank you.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.